Hi, everybody. Welcome to the world-famous Strength Depot and the Strength Depositions podcast. It's just me today, little old me. I'm just kind of stuck by myself here at Strength Depot. Everybody's got things to do, so it's just me. I'm your host, Chuck, and thanks for listening, guys. Today we wanted to do an interview with a really, really special lifter. We have a lot of people out there that lift weights and that are just naturally strong. I mean, you see people doing like 500-pound bench presses without, you know, basically without even doing anything. And just, you know, see people that are able to lift like heavy-ass weights. And just, it seems like it comes natural to them. Then you see a lot of people that like have all this talent and seem to have like a lot of talent and just don't do things with it. Or you see people with hard, like talent that, you know, are good at hard work, but they don't work hard enough. We got a really special athlete today. His name is Armon, Armon Arabian. I asked him how to say it before. Armon's a friend of mine for many, many years. He's one of the most decent human beings I've met. He's got like one of the biggest hearts that I know out of anybody. But the thing that makes Armon special is he's a special lifter. He's incredibly, incredibly strong. But when I met him, like he wasn't that strong. You see a natural progression in his lifting, and you see like the hard work that he put into it, and then he continues to put into it, has now led him to the Arnold Classic this month coming up, this next month. So Armon's going to be in the he's going to be in the Arnold Classic XPC Finals, and it's just a real great story about how he got here. It's a real great story. Again, you got a guy that's doing hard work. He's a hard worker, and he's also one of those guys that, you know, has made himself who he is. So hi guys. Hey Jen, what's up guys? So I just wanted to introduce the world to Armon. Thanks for stopping by and thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Chuck. I appreciate it.
No problem, buddy. No problem. Our relationship, not like, you know, we're like in a total relationship, but
close to it.
It's, you know, it's just dicks, that's all. But our relationship started at Powerhouse Gym, like in Novi, right?
Yes, we did. Powerhouse Novi.
So what can you tell me about Powerhouse Novi, like when we met? Like, so the story goes, we were I'm one of those guys that, like, I pretty much hate everybody in a gym, like in a commercial gym. And, like, when you see somebody who's, like, a good lifter or somebody that looks like they got potential, like, I'm always, like, on that look for it because you don't see it very often over there. So I see Armon, and Armon's doing some crazy shit, and I forgot. You were training for Strongman, weren't you?
No, actually. I was just in the gym training normally. I wasn't even thinking about powerlifting or any of that stuff because I didn't think I would go anywhere with it. I just lifted just to have fun. It was just something I enjoyed doing.
So tell me about the growth, your inception of powerlifting. How did all this start? Like, how did your athleticism start?
So I was actually a soccer player, believe it or not, back when I was like 170 pounds. I'm around 250 now. I was a soccer player all through middle school, high school at Catholic Central, and then I played at Wayne State for a little bit. And then when I was 22, I completely shattered my right kneecap, which I was on the edge of tears when I found out. So I had my surgery, recovered, and I got really, really fat.
How fat are we talking?
260 of just straight bulginess of nasty looking Armon. It was terrible. It was completely terrible.
Like Pillsbury Doughboy.
Yeah. Oh man. So after I had my surgery, my doctor told me I'd never be able to squat again, never be able to run again, never be able to be athletic again.
How old were you?
I was 22.
And you're how old now?
28.
Okay.
And as soon as he told me that, I went to rehab, told my physical therapist what my doctor said, and she said that at the end of 3 months, you were going to be running again, you were going to be doing soccer drills again. You know, the first couple weeks were horrible because my knee was always in pain. She's always pushing me, trying to get me better. Within a month, I was seeing results. I was walking without my crutches. I had my knee brace on, but hey, I was walking. I didn't want to take the elevator or get in a wheelchair. I decided to take the stairs instead, hopping up and down the stairs. I hate it when someone tells me I can't do something. It's the worst feeling in the world. And then by the end of the 3 months, I was running again. I was doing soccer drills, and my dumbass decided to do a 5K in May.
Wait, a 5K? Like, that's running, right?
Yeah. I did a 5K in May, months after my surgery.
I can't see you fucking running now, much less then.
Walking is hard. But yeah, I did a 5K, and I completed it in 48 minutes.
Wow.
After all that shit happened to me. And then I decided to started lifting weights. And I just randomly, I thought bench press was the only thing I should do. Never train legs, ever, which is probably the worst thing in the world. So bench press was my go-to lifting. So I naturally bench pressed 225 for reps without even trying.
So I am such a bro. Thanks, Jen. I appreciate it. So this is like the first time you bench pressed 225?
Pretty much. Okay. First time ever. And, you know, I decided to pick up deadlifting because I saw someone else doing it. My form was complete shit because I was straight bent over. There was no legs involved.
So how old were you again?
I was going to be 23. Okay. Going to be 23. And then I, you know, started deadlifting in that back corner powerhouse in Novi where no one fucking bothered me.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And that's where I met Ken Meyer-Juergen, Josh Wright, Cam McVitie, Ron, and you, Chuck, and Andrea Jones.
Oh my God, that was Mark Jones.
That was our deadlift crew. That was so much fun. Thursday night deadlift session at 6 p.m.
So if for anybody, like people don't know, but if you've never been to Powerhouse Novi, Powerhouse Novi used to have this overhang. On the overhang, it was at the end of a track, like a one-way track. And what it would do is it had like two or three racks in there, power racks in there, and the sound echoed. And it was just kind of like it was off to itself. It was like a little dungeon area. And so what we would do is we would pull like, and again, when I met you, we started doing deadlifts over there, and I met like Cam and Armand and a whole Andrea and everybody. And so we started deadlifting. And now anybody who knows like powerlifters in a commercial gym, it goes kind of weird, you know? People kind of look at you funny. But after a while, they kind of got used to us. And so like, you know, we're clanging the bars. We've got chalk over there. We're, you know, yelling at each other, making fun. Everything was like a dick joke. Just like always. And
nothing's changed.
No. Right. And so the maturity level hasn't changed, but we used to train there, and like people used to stay the fuck away from us.
Oh yeah.
Like there would be a crowd around it, but nobody would say a fucking word. Or every once in a while somebody would come by and go, "What are you guys doing?"
No one would ever want to join in. No. It was just us crazy kids in the back corner. Which was fun. And then finally one of the former powerhouse trainers, Rudy, he said I'd actually be good at powerlifting. Mm-hmm. 3 months later, August 2015, and he said I'd be really good at powerlifting. Next thing I knew, I did my first meet in November with him in New York at an RPS meet, and my total back then was 1450 at 242.
So what were your lifts?
The first time I ever squatted after my knee surgery, I hit 405 for 5 reps without even trying. But my squat was 455, my bench was 410 somehow, and then my deadlift was 635.
Okay.
That was my first meet ever. And then I did a push-pull meet in January. I think I benched 408, pulled 644. And then my second full power meet, I did the APF state meet. And I benched 412, squatted 523, and pulled 650. Okay. Then I did APF Nationals, my third full power meet. This is all within 1 year. But this is within November, 5-6 months. And I squatted 534, benched 412 again, and deadlifted 622. Then I got really bad sciatica nerve issue. So I took a little time off. Came back, did a UPA meet at one of JJ Thomas's UPA Detroit Barbell meet. I think it was the Summer Bash or Fall Bash or whatever. And I squatted 565, 440 bench, and a 610 deadlift. And then in January of last year, January 2017, I squatted 635 in reps. I benched 445, and I pulled 640. And then that's when I qualified for the Arnold the first time.
Wait till this story. Wait till you hear the story.
And then whoever updated the XPC website, they upped the total for me. So I got disqualified the first time. I was livid. Then my buddy Cam, he's my best friend now, he wanted to start programming me. And by summer hit, I had a 620 squat without reps. Benched 440 again, started pulling mid sixes again. By this past October is when I did my next RPS meet. I decided total. I totaled 1820. Squatted. What was it? What did I squat? 705. Bench 435 and pulled 680. It took me two and a half years to break 650 on deadlift. And finally, I powered through it, and I am now qualified to go to the Arnold in 3 weeks. So I'm fucking excited about that.
How do you feel about that, man? Like, I mean, like, again, like, looking at it, like, you go from being stuck, and now you go from getting, like, okay, you're qualifying for the Arnold, everything's awesome, you can't wait to do it. What the fuck, now I can't do the Arnold because somebody made some technical yeah. difference? Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I got to fucking qualify again. What's that like? I mean, like, you feel go from that elation to now all of a sudden, fuck, I can't qualify, and now to go and qualify again. Did you go all stubborn on it? Did you just be like, fuck you guys?
I was angry. I was very angry because, okay. You know, I wasn't told. They usually update it every year, and I thought they had updated it. Like, no, we're going to update it again. They updated it twice. They went from the total that I needed, they put it up to 1730, and then they upped it to 1750. Two times they updated it in 2 months from March. They updated it twice within 2 months, so I had to up my total again for this past October, which I completely shattered, which I was very happy about. And I've had people pushing me. I've had Cam pushing me. Hell, I've had you push me. I've had Shane. I've had Rob, Jen, Tina, Catherine. I've had everybody hounding me saying, I can do better. And now I'm on my pace to hit a 2,000-pound total at 242.
So, like, if you were to qualify as pro, like, if you're to qualify as pro, what would your total need to be to qualify as pro?
I need 1875 to qualify as a pro.
Okay. And your total is right now?
1820. I am going to completely shatter that at the Arnold.
Well, you know, like I said, it's coming from where I knew you when you weren't doing this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because I remember meeting you at Powerhouse, and I remember showing you bands for the first time. And you're like, what the fuck are those? And then, like, I put them on the bench,
oh, yeah.
And you were like, slam, and you got slammed by it.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, to see the growth from you from then to now, and to see, like, the muscle gain, and then to see that you've never given up through, like, people telling you can't do this, or, you know, there's always running jokes in the gym. People tell jokes about, your squat's high, or, you're not doing this. There's always a fucking running joke. No matter who you are, how good you are, people have a tendency to just, like, get on you.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, to see you persevere through all of that, through your injuries, through, you know, just through everything where you were getting, like, pissed off because you got, like, a stale lift. Like, it's been a great, great transition. It's been so organic. And,
it has.
And you've been positive about the whole thing, too.
Well, I mean, I have to be. You can't be negative on yourself all the time. You're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I always tell myself, I can do better. Keep going. Cam's always in my ear saying, you're a little bitch. You can do better.
Yeah.
And then you got JJ telling me my squat's high. So I always try to sink it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's a judge and he says, oh, you're about a quarter inch high. Well, fuck you. I'm going to get it next time.
Right.
You know, he means well, and it's burned in my brain that I'm always squatting too high.
Yeah.
So it makes me do a lot better.
You know, like I said, we did an interview with JJ, and it takes a good 15 years or so to get to know him. But one of the biggest hearts in lifting, like one
oh,
of the
yeah.
biggest hearts
oh,
and
yeah.
one of the kindest human beings.
You can see it.
Yeah.
See it.
And, but, you know, he comes across as this kind of gruff character, and, like, you know, he doesn't give you any compliments, but when he does, you know he means it.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
I think I've gotten one compliment from him. He said, hey, that was a good deadlift. Nice job. And then he walked away. I'm
yeah.
like, oh, all right, thanks.
And then you're trying to pinch yourself. Like, you can't believe he did that.
What's going on?
He said something to me. I was doing a deficit dead one time, and I strained through it, and he goes, hey, that's not bad. And he walked away, and I was like, JJ, I have my nipples in my hands. Like, JJ loves me. Oh my God. I'm like a little girl.
Oh man.
But
yeah, he means well.
He does. And, you know, like, where does your mentality come from? I mean, it seems like, you know, with school, with everything, you're driven, and you tend to, like, if you have a goal in your head, you tend to go for it no matter what. Where did that stem from?
That kind of stemmed from both my parents. My parents are both very well educated. My dad went to Johns Hopkins for his undergrad, went to George Washington for his master's. Wow. My mom went to Loyola.
In what?
I think electrical engineering. So he's from the Middle East. He's from Iran, and he got a full ride scholarship to Johns Hopkins and George Washington for how smart he was. And then my mom, she went to Loyola of Chicago, and then she went to Georgetown for her master's and her PhD in linguistics.
Okay.
So my mom and dad have always set that bar.
It reminds me of like Step Brothers. I used to smoke dope with Johnny Hopkins. It was Johnny Hopkins and Sloan Kettering.
Yes, oh,
we were blazing that shit
oh,
up.
Oh yes.
But wow, like those are amazing schools.
And then there's me with the Wayne State.
No.
But I enjoy Wayne State very much. I got my chemistry degree and a finance degree from there.
Okay.
So I'm a nerd. I got 2 degrees.
You have an undergrad, a baccalaureate in chemistry?
Two bachelor of sciences. One in chemistry, one in finance.
Right. Okay.
So, education is everything in the family. So I kind of get it from them. They put their bar high by going to those universities, saying, "Oh wow, I got to do something. I got to be better." You know, I'm never gonna be better than my parents, but they set that bar high for me, and I keep that bar, raising that bar for myself, because I know I can do better.
Yeah. Did they, were they encouraging, like, when you were in school, when they, like, for powerlifting or for when you were in school, were they like, okay, come on, Armand, you can do a lot better than this?
Actually, no. They were against me doing powerlifting.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my mom and dad, they would come to the meets. They said, yeah, go Armand, yes. My dad's like, don't get injured.
Yeah.
Don't get injured. I mean, especially when I'm getting twice as strong as when they saw me compete.
Yeah.
It is kind of scary. It is kind of scary, especially with how squats are going, how bench is going, how deadlifts is going, all three lifts. You know, they're supportive, but they're always afraid that something can go wrong, which something can go wrong and can be very, very drastic.
That's called being a parent.
That is. But they know it makes me happy, and they want the best for me.
How about education-wise, Armand? Like, you know, you have 2 bachelor's degrees. What do you intend to do for your career?
Well, right now I still work for the same company. It's called Goldfish Swim School. I work with kids.
Okay.
You know, a big old power lifter working with kids.
Sounds normal too.
Yeah. I'm actually in management. I'm an operations manager at one of the locations in Clarkston now. And I enjoy it. I work with all the financials. I work with all the supervisors and whatnot. I have that job right now, but my ultimate goal that I want to go work for the Department of Defense.
Okay.
One day. So getting into the government is hard.
Yeah.
So one day I'll get in there.
We had a buddy Ron that's in.
Yes, he is. And he just kind of laid everything out for me. I'm like, wow, that sounds really good. I want that. I want the pension. That's the ultimate goal that I want.
Yeah.
Because you only work for 25 years and then you retire.
Yeah.
So why not?
And then you do what you do and get married like me and then divorce, and then you just get half of that. So.
Oh, man. Hey, I'm still single right now, so ladies, I'm right here.
I mean, to be honest, though, like, I see a lot of that. I see a lot of people that have, like, even though maybe the parents might not say, okay, I want you to do this, or okay, like, maybe the parents might be into something or whatever, I always see, like, it kind of trickles down into the child a lot of times, where if the parent is driven and the parent shows and models that type of behavior, the son follows too, or the daughter follows, and I see that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So
me and my sister are both very driven.
So you only have one sibling?
I just have one sibling, okay. My sister, Nina, and she actually has a chemistry degree and a minor in math.
Wow.
So, like I said, my parents set that bar high for both of us, and we want to meet their expectations.
And it seems like that trickles down not just in like education, but in everything that you do.
Oh, yeah.
You realize that you can continue to go.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I come from a very athletic family. Mm-hmm. My mom was actually part of her basketball team in high school and swim team. My dad played lacrosse, and he was a basketball player. And it pushed us to do well. It pushed us to be active. Pushed us to have fun. And I've enjoyed it ever since.
You know what I also find out, too? I also find out, like, the best athletes, and I've been doing these podcasts for a little while and been talking to athletes for a while, but I find the best athletes are usually soccer players.
Because we have legs and we have endurance.
Yeah.
Even though everyone calls us, you know, foot fairies. I was a keeper. I never ran. I just stayed in net and blocked balls for a living.
Well, you're the size of the net. So.
I am the size of the net. I move one way up. There it is. I got the ball. That's fine. Just don't ask me to jump. I don't jump very high. I'm happy to get like 3 inches off.
But I always see like, but you had to practice with them too. And like you're doing the practicing and whatnot in the same type of conditioning. So, like, I always find, because it's not just the running by Tina.
See, Tina. By the way, she's one of the best gym owners ever, even though I don't mention her ever.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tina.
Thank you. We got the two best gym owners ever imagine.
Oh, yeah.
This is everybody else's baby, too.
I mean, Shane's okay. But
she's all right.
She's all right. The brains behind the operation.
Right.
That is very true.
The brains and the looks.
There you go.
So, but I always find out soccer players, they're like, because they have to do so many different gross motor patterns.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, it's the running, it's the jumping, it's the being able to kick the ball on the move, dribbling the ball, hand-eye coordination. Those gross motor patterns are definitely reinforced. And then I always see soccer players are always like pure fast twitch when they get older, too.
That is very true. I mean, they're constantly moving. There's no timeouts in soccer. You play 45-minute halves. It's the same thing with hockey. You're playing for 20 minutes constantly. You're on your feet. You're always moving. Same with rugby. It's the sports that keep you going.
Yeah.
The constant endurance and whatnot.
It's an incredible sport.
Oh, yeah. Even though some people in America say, oh, it's a prissy sport. Whoop-de-doo.
Play it.
Wait till you get into injury, see what happens, like I did.
So, quick story, just to digress. My little boy's playing soccer, right? He's played soccer now. This is his first year. So he plays defense. And, you know, my little boy, like, you've met him, Armand. He's a great kid. And I talk about him, like, every podcast. But he's got that single-mindedness that we have. And so, like, he's also really tough. He's quiet, but he's real tough. And so, like, he gets knocked down by – he's playing defense, and this big kid knocks him down, right? And I think I even referenced this one before, but it's just a funny story. So a kid knocks him down and runs away. So about 20 minutes later, Ben just plows over this kid, right? This kid's big,
yes.
But Ben plows over him, right? And he picks him up, and he's like, oh, you know, he tells the kid he's sorry, and in the middle of the game gets him up and whatever, right? So Ben's team wins. So at the very end of the game, I'm like, man, I'm really proud of you. I said, you showed good sportsmanship when you knocked that kid down. He goes, Dad, he had it coming. I said, what? He knocked me down.
That's awesome.
He had it coming. He goes, I just didn't want a red card, Dad. He goes, so I helped him up. And I was like, you little shit. You know?
that's awesome.
But you're like, that's my boy.
Oh, yeah. Actually, there was one time when I was playing soccer, just a bullshit league at Total Soccer at Novi. I actually got a red card as a goalie. I ran into somebody. I was going for the ball and shouldered the kid right to the ground. I'm like, this is my ball. And then red card me and kicked me out. I was like, are you serious right now? I was protecting myself.
Right.
I didn't think that could happen to him.
Well, if anybody sees Armand, he's wide as fuck, so you don't want to get hit by him. So, anyways, let's go back into training again. So, you trained when you first started, like a lot of us. You didn't know what you were doing. You were just lifting weights.
It was just fun.
What's your evolution of learning how to train?
Not maxing out every single week.
Okay.
When I first came to Strength Depot back, it's been open for 2 years now, right? I'd say about a year and a half ago, I was maxing out on everything. Everything that you can think of.
So you would squat and max out, and then would you do like an, like a safety bar squat the next week and then max out? Like a conjugate style training?
Is that what you're doing? No, every week I'd max out.
Okay.
I was stupid about it. Like, oh, hey, I got a new max. Whoop-de-doo. There was no training involved. I just did the weights and did it.
Okay.
And then finally someone called me out on it.
Who called you out? Who was it?
He doesn't come here anymore. Nick Gout, actually.
Okay.
It was on Facebook. I'm like, I wasn't actually offended by it because he was right.
Yeah.
He was right. And finally, I decided to program. I did the cube method for my first meet in January in 2017 at an RPS meet in Kentucky. And my total skyrocketed from 1610 to 1720. First time programming ever.
Is it because... Do you think it's because of the extra volume of the cube, or is it because weight and the intensities with the cube?
I think it was the intensity, and every week you're going heavy with one lift, you're doing a speed day, and then you're doing a volume day.
Okay.
And it switches the next week. The next time you're going to be doing volume on bench, you're doing heavy on squats, you're doing speed on deadlifts. Next week you're going heavy on bench, speed on squats, volume for deadlifts. Like, it's something different every week. So... It was a lot different,
okay.
But I stuck through it.
Okay.
You know who made me stick through it?
Who?
Catherine Zemke did. She pushed me, and she would hide my shoes. Otherwise, if she's like, if you're not gonna finish, I'm gonna hide your shit. She hid my shoes, my flip flops, everything you can imagine to finish a workout. So she pushed me.
That's our beloved cat.
Yes.
Okay. So when okay, so you did the cube and you ran that for how long?
I ran that for 12 weeks.
Okay. Now, did you get an increase in hypertrophy through the extra volume?
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, yes. My endurance was going up a lot more. Now, not so much, but back about a year and a half ago, yeah. I did the Q method, and volume, endurance was going up. I felt better. Okay. Like, it just seemed a lot better.
Okay.
The only thing I didn't like about the Q method, there's not enough pulling because I started to strain my right shoulder. So how much you press is how much you should pull.
Right.
And there was none of that.
Okay.
That's the only thing I would complain about the cube method. Okay. Other than that, it worked very well for me.
So from the cube, you started doing what?
Doing Cam's programming, Cam McVitie. Yep. And
my boy Cam.
Oh yeah. He's my best friend. He's also very hard on me. He's a dick about it, but he means well. Yeah. He's kind of like JJ.
Yeah.
He's a dick, but he means well. Never see him be soft though.
Yeah. So describe his programming, if you will. Is it a block, or what is it? What does he do?
No, see, I don't know how to describe his programming. I want to call. I told him to call it the McVitie method because yeah. that's what it is.
Okay.
But it goes based on your by what you are lacking and what your max attempts are. So he does percentages, what he feels like you need to work on. I do a lot of pulling because that right shoulder. I really don't know how to describe it. Every program that he does, he programs Alice from the gym here. He programs me. He does a couple other people. His program is tailored for those specific people. So it could be different for Alice. It could be different for me. It could be different for a couple other people. It's different for everybody. So it's specific to that type of person.
But is it more, like, is it a linear periodization where he takes the numbers? And
it's linear progression all the way up until a meet time. And he does have off-season programming, which he did for me in the summer, which is great. And my total jumped from 17:20 to 18:20 in October.
Okay.
And now I'm going to be running for 2K.
So my question is, does he base it more around the big three lifts, or is he basing it around your weaknesses? So let's say, because Matt Winning talks a lot about, what he does is... Okay, sorry, thank you. Sorry, I'm talking salami in your mouth.
It's all good.
So what Matt Winning does is, his idea is you get a max effort attempt on a bench, or let's say you get a max effort attempt on a squat. You use that as an assessment tool, find out where you're weak. Your next exercise, your next accessory is going to be something to help with that. And so that's what he does, and he does conjugate. So Winning's more conjugate, but he takes that as an assessment tool and then utilizes that. Does Cam do that? Do you linearly progress all your accessory lifts, or are you let's say today's squat day? Are you always going to squat? That's my question.
Yes. He does base it around the three big lifts, but everything is linear. Your accessory goes up by 5 pounds, 10 pounds in 2 weeks, but the main three lifts are moving up and up, and the volume gets lower and lower as you start to peak.
Yeah.
So it starts off with heavy volume and a lot of sets and accessories. Then 4 weeks later, it could be a couple sets less, something less, but the weights are getting heavier and heavier. By the end of 12 weeks, you are peaking like crazy, like I am right now.
You know, it's funny because when we went to the Indiana seminar, Eddie Cohn was talking about that. That's what he does. He said he doesn't miss any reps. He doesn't. He sets it so his accessory numbers are progressed.
Oh yeah.
Everything is progressed. It's not nothing is taken for granted. Mm. And then there's nothing missed.
Yeah.
So what we'd like to do is maybe let's get Cam on here one day and talk the McVitie method and his idea, because it might be something that maybe Cam can take further than this. You know.
Because his programming is very, very linear. I noticed that everything is going up, 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 and it's been working wonderfully.
Good.
This is only the second time I programmed, or second, actually third time I programmed, I should say that. And my total is going to be jumping 180 pounds almost. So it's been awesome. It's been a good run so far. And I don't think I'd change it for anything, actually.
You know, like I said, when you find, and we've talked about this gym in particular, Strength Depot's got some amazing people, but you trust the people that you train with. You trust them, and, people want what's best for you, and, you know, like I said, I met Cam, too, when I was at Powerhouse, too, and that's when Cam wore string tank tops, remember that?
I remember
fuck with him about that. If you know Cam's the type of guy now that he'll come in, it'll be cold as fuck, and he'll have, shorts on, some fucking flip-flops, and
you know, whatever. He doesn't give a shit. But he used to wear these string tank tops. Like, fucking awesome. Nipples hanging out and everything. Headlights were on always.
The real powerhouse bro gym right there. Yeah.
And I was like, I remember seeing these guys and I'm like, what are you guys doing?
We're deadlifting, man.
Yeah. It's funny being the old man, you know, because I used to be the young guy, but I'm the old man that talks to people, and I'm like, you probably shouldn't do it that way, or whatever. You remember that? Like, oh, I was always doing shit like that, but, okay, so in your lifts, like, let's go through each lift for you, and I'd like to talk about, like, what you found in your lifts that have improved your lifts, because maybe it can help other people too. Like the things that maybe they might have problems with, you might have had a problem with, and how you overcame it. So let's talk about the bench press. I mean, you've always been a strong bencher.
I've always been a strong bencher. I think in every competition I haven't benched anything under 400. Right. So my biggest weakness, I'd say, in bench is not popping the weight off the chest. It is the finishing part is the lockout, and it's more tricep dependent, and apparently my triceps are weak, but I have such a large chest, like I can, it's literally the pushing power coming off the chest is so strong for me, I can literally pop anything off my chest. But the tricep, the slow progression up from 90 degrees,
the grind, right?
The grind, the 90 degrees and up, that's where I lack in. So a lot more tricep, a lot more close grip, a lot more tricep accessory, more band work on bench could probably work, more chain, actually Cam has me working with chains every now and then, which helps a lot. And then for squat, my strong suit is popping out of the hole at the bottom, because I just squatted, 740 this past week, and I popped that weight out of the hole like it was nothing.
Now, are you quad dominant or hamstring dominant?
I want to say both, because I mean I pull a lot and I squat a lot, but a lot. Ben Paul, I actually said I'm very quad dominant, okay. So I do have very large quads.
Okay.
So, and then on.
They're sexy too.
Oh yes, yeah. Yes.
Ladies.
Hi Jen.
I totally missed that.
We were talking about Armand's sexy quads. Ladies.
Oh my God.
We don't let him squat in shorts around here because it causes a problem.
Yeah. So what we do is we just have him do like the spandex shorts.
Do the
like
Shane
the yoga shorts.
Method.
Yeah.
The booty shorts.
Yeah.
Hey. They say squats on the butt. So for squats, I pop
Peach
up.
Gang.
Oh my God. So I squats. I pop anything out of the hole. It's where I get to 45 degrees to the lockout part is where the bar starts to roll on me coming forward, since I have some mobility issues in my shoulders. That is also one thing I lack, is flexibility and mobility.
Yeah.
So that is one thing I've been working on, stretching a lot, constant massages, just trying to loosen all that scar tissue up that I built up over the years for neglecting it.
So coming, like, soccer players are notoriously pretty flexible. My question is, like, how often do you work on your flexibility, and do you do it before a workout, after a workout, like on your own time? What do you do as far as for flexibility, mobility?
Now, before it was never. Just maybe, I'll use the foam roller to crack my back. That's about it. Now I'm stretching my glutes with the foam roller, pushing my arms against the wall to stretch the chest and pecs out. Cam has me doing 10 to 15 minutes of stretching beforehand and warm-ups, and at 10 minutes after. Like, I'm on the treadmill for leg day, for squat day, bench day. I'm constantly using bands to warm up with, stretching and everything. He has me doing stuff before and after, and it has come full circle. It's been a lot better. It can be better, but it's getting better. So it's been working with that. Now, moving on to deadlift. Oh, deadlift. I can pull anything fast off the ground. It's when I get above my kneecap is my lockout. Apparently, I'm not squeezing my ass cheeks hard enough to get the full lockout in. So it's just something I've been working on, and just something I got to keep working on.
Do you, curious, do you ever try incorporating, like, heavy kettlebell swings into your stuff? Like, maybe heavy kettlebell swings to, like, not a normal pendulum style, but, like, maybe a hard style where you're snapping real hard at the top. Do you ever do that?
I have never done that. Never done that. I've done block pulls, and those still don't seem to work for me. I just think I don't know. I have to figure something out with Cam to see what I can do more on my glutes.
Because my only thought about that is a lot of times it's not that your glutes can't activate. A lot of times it's because you just don't know how to activate them, or you don't know how to activate them, you know, hard, like when you need to. So I think like something like maybe some kettlebells. I mean, I'm not going to fuck with Cam's program. Cam's obviously doing what works. But just the things that I've thought about where, like, maybe to groove your glutes a little bit more, like maybe some light kettlebell swings in the beginning, like maybe two sets of 10, real light snapping at the top, and then at, like post, like after your workout or just right when you get ready to stop, your last two or three sets, do some heavy band stuff where you got a band with the kettlebell snapping at the top just to make sure you get the activation. It's just a thought, and maybe you can run that by Cam. It's up to you.
Another thing that I've actually brought up to Cam is using the pit shot or the belt squat,
yeah,
and the reverse hyper. Yeah. Those two have been my go-to things, okay, in the past weeks and the past meet that I did, and I've seen that work. But as the deadlift is getting heavier and heavier, I got to incorporate more.
It's like you go back to old patterns.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So just something to work on after the Arnold, because okay, I'm going to be taking a year off after this.
Okay.
Because I'm beat up. I'm very beat up.
Okay. So we got your deadlift. We talked about your deadlifts. How about your squats? Because I remember, like, when you started, your squat was not that good.
Oh, no.
Like, you were lucky to hit 4 on the squat in the beginning.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
4-something. And you said your first meet, you hit 455, right?
My first meet, I opened with 405, uh-huh, and I finished with 455.
Okay.
It was complete garbage for what I was weighing.
Yeah, that was my first meet, too. 455 is what I finished at.
Yep. But, like I said, it's been linear progression from here on out. 455, then I hit 523, then 534, then 565, then 635, then 705.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to make a run for 800.
So what do you attribute to, like, your weaknesses in that? Like, what are your weaknesses in the squat? And so we've already talked about, like you said, you come forward a little bit. Is it just like the mobility in your shoulders trying to stay tight, or what is it?
It's more, it is that, but it's getting the bar low enough on my back to where I want it to be. Because if I high bar squat it, which I have been doing a lot, not in this past meet, but in meets before, I just notice the bar tips over my head. So I've been trying to get lower and lower and lower with the squat bar on my back.
And how do you do that? How have you been doing that?
I just crank it till I don't feel any pain anymore in my shoulder right now. Like I said, I've been stretching it. I've been seeing Jacqueline Bell and Becky Wilson. They've both been digging into my lats and subscap, because that just seems where the issue is for me.
Right.
But I've always had large shoulders and really tight shoulders. So it's just something I got to constantly work at. But now I've been able to get my arms about 2 to 3 inches in.
Okay.
So it's been working, so I'm not only at the collars anymore. Still coming in slowly.
Armand and I both get made fun of because neither of us have shoulder flexibility at all. So, like, I'm, like, grabbing on the outside, too. So, like, and you know what sucks, too, is, like, you tend to want to, like, I tend to want to work safety squat bar more because, you know, it's easier on my shoulders. But then I'm, like, alleviating the problem. I'm cutting down the problem, like, just for that set, but I'm not curing what I need to get cured, you know?
It's not completely fixing it.
No.
And honestly, powerlifting, you can't squat with a safety squat bar.
Right.
You can't squat with a Cambridge squat bar. You got to squat with a squat bar.
Right.
So. I was going to ask, you guys using the rope?
No, we're just here.
See the belt there.
No, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Okay, you know what? I think one of the big things that, like, with powerlifters, and probably with, like, I mean, I don't know if your family was like this. Mine was like this. But just be honest with what your weaknesses are. And be honest with what you do well and what you don't do well. And the things you don't do well, try and do well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think that's kind of a key. And, like, I also think it's a key that, like, you have to have people in your life or that are working with you, or, like, training partners or friends or whatever, that are honest with you and that can say, all right, look, you're an 800 squatter, but you really need to do this a little better. I think it's also humbling because, like, as you progress and you get a little bit stronger, you're like, oh, well, what's this guy know? But then you start realizing it. Wait a second. That guy might know something he might be seeing something that I'm not seeing. So,
and in all honesty, I was that guy. I'm like, I don't want to listen to you. I was a knucklehead. I didn't want to listen to anybody. I thought I was doing everything right. And then I fell forward on a squat and dropped 500 pounds over my head once, which was bullshit because someone was spotting me and didn't catch me, which is not fun. Right. But I have learned to listen. I've learned to listen to JJ, Cam, you. I've listened to people who have Craig Gallo. I don't remember if you remember Craig Gallo. He's always in my he was always in my face when I was at Michigan Barbell before it closed. Those were the days. Those were fun. Like, I had people constantly trying to fix me, trying to work with me with my mobility, and it has now come full circle. Especially when I see people from back then, they're like, wow, you really have worked on things. Like squat form, deadlift form, bench form. I'm benching a little bit wider. My legs for squats are a tiny bit wider, so I'm using every single muscle in my legs and glutes and just powering through. So it's been a fun journey, and it'll be 3.5 years since I started powerlifting.
And just so everybody knows, like, this is a guy that's been powerlifting 3.5 years and is now going to qualify for pro, hopefully, at the Arnold.
Oh, no, I will. Oh, I will. Well, there's no doubt about it.
He's going to qualify for pro at the Arnold after 3.5 years. I've been lifting for 30. I'm never qualifying for pro. But at the same token, though, like, it's you see this and you go, finally, somebody like this who has genetic potential, yes, but also has the work ethic and the brains in order to know, okay, I might not be doing this right. I know people that can help me and is humble enough to listen. So it's not, powerlifting is not, and life in general, is not all about just like easily going through it, because everybody knows that, like, when you go to have something like that you really want in life and you go for, it's not easy and it's hard to do. I'm not going to get on a tangent, but what I'm saying is you need to have a lot of different things in order to obtain a goal, and you have to bring them all together. And here's the guy bringing them together, folks. So it's like, I honestly, and I can say this, from the very moment that I met you, I thought you were one of the most decent people that I've met. One of the, like, I don't hear you say bad words about people. I mean, we, you know, whatever. We all do. We all do. We all do. But what I'm saying is, like, you're a positive dude. You have a very good outlook on life. It sounds like you had a wonderful structure with your parents, and your sister. And, you know, you're one of the nicest people I know. And to see all this coming your way through your hard work, it's awesome to see, buddy. It really is. Because not a lot of people can do that, and not a lot of people, it's not this big ass sprint which everybody thinks. It's a really slow marathon, but you're doing it, and we're all really proud of you.
Longevity is the name of the game.
Yeah.
That's the name of the game.
I found that out too, like, you get like old like me, and then like
you're 21 with years of experience.
Right. But you think about like how, like, you want to do this the rest of your life. And, you know, like, a lot of times, like, I'm going through, like, I was talking to you earlier, I'm going through injuries right now. So, like, I was doing a linear progression, and so it was working fine. But what I was finding out is my injuries were getting more and more, like naggy things, like my knee or my hip or my shoulder. And so conjugate allows me to work around a little bit of that. So I'm going back to conjugate for a little bit, just so I can work around some injuries until I can get a little bit stronger and make my weaknesses stronger. But, so what do you have on the horizon? So, like, we're going to do the Arnold, and I'm going to be there with you. So what do you're going to be doing the Arnold, and Jose's going to do it too,
yes,
right?
Yes, he is. Okay. I have two other friends that are doing the Arnold with me.
Who's
at
doing
XPC.
It? Who else is doing it? So, Ben? Is Ben doing it?
No, he is not. He's okay. Doing the Motor City Strongest along with Kate Wagner. Okay. They decided to do that instead with their work schedule, so that's for them. Me, Jose Montana, my buddy Donnie from Tennessee, and my other friend Tracy from Tennessee, Donnie and Tracy are actually really good friends. They work out together.
Okay.
So Tracy is doing 220, I'm doing 242, Donnie's doing 275, and Jose is doing super heavyweight. So we have a stacked four people who are strong as hell going into the Arnold. Three of us are going to be hitting 2,000-pound totals, hopefully.
You know, it's funny too, like, and I've talked about this too, going out to the bar with these guys is fucking sweet, because I always say, I'm going to talk shit, and I'm just going to stand behind all you guys.
Oh, man, that's funny. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. No one likes to mess with us anymore. There's no point. There's no point.
But, yeah, like, so after the Arnold, what's your plan then?
After the Arnold, Cam wants me to get into the U.S. Open one day. And I know you need like a 2,055 total at 242, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong. But that is something I want to do. I want to compete with the top people one day. I want to be in that same conversation as Dan Green one day.
Right.
Maybe Larry Williams. We'll see how that one goes for me. We'll see. You know, I just want to be in the same conversation as maybe Pete Rubish one day or Aaron Palko, like those guys. That would be awesome to be around.
Well, like I said, looking at it from 3.5 years to now and the progression that you've seen or that I've seen over the years from you, I don't think that's something that's unobtainable.
Within the next 2 years, I can be in that conversation.
I agree.
We'll see. We will see.
Is there anything else that you might want to talk about? Like, because I'd like to talk to you about some of your... go ahead, please.
I was going to talk about the attempts that I'm going to be doing at the Arnold.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that.
So, obviously, warm-ups for squats. I want to open with 710. Then move to 760 for a second attempt and 800. If I can hit 800, that'll be a huge milestone. Because one day I do want to go for the world record squat at 242. Right now that's at 903.903.5, and I want to see if I can beat that one day. Give me another 2 years, and I will try to make a run for it. Bench has been stuck for me for a while. I've been in the 400 range forever. My goal is to hit 500 one day, but that's a little far away from me right now. 390 to 435 to 450. Deadlift, 640, I'm sorry, to 700, and then make a run for 720 or to 750. That'll put me 1970 to 2K. So that would be that is my ultimate goal right there. If I can make the first squat and bench look great. Deadlift, I have no doubt that I can hit 720 to 750. So, and I'll hit top 50 if I hit 1980 or more.
Really? Top 50?
Top 50 in the world.
That's fucking crazy.
I want that. That'd be wonderful to have. So we'll see.
Well, I don't have any, like, I don't have any doubt that you'll hit this. I have no doubt in my mind. I've seen you train, and like I said, you're right there.
Oh, yeah.
So, is there anybody that you want to talk about? Is there anything else that you want to talk about, Armand? I mean, like, is anybody you want to talk about, say thank you to, or do you have any sponsorships right now?
I am unsponsored right now. You know, the only person that's really sponsoring me are Shane and Tina. They're making me a singlet. Other than that, I've got no one sponsoring me. Everything is all done on my own. I really don't have anybody watching over me besides Cam. I mean, to thank everybody, I had to thank everybody at Strength Depot. You know, you, Shane, Tina, Catherine, Lawrence. Lawrence's daughter, she's adorable.
She is the best.
She is adorable. Just people have been pushing me. Rob Fucciarelli, Jen, they've all pushed me. You know, we may not talk a lot, but when I'm in the gym, I'm in the zone, they are all watching. Because it's just, I do well under pressure. And them watching, them pushing me, giving me little pointers, little tips, cues. Everybody has seen the potential, and I want to make it known that I can do it. Not just for myself, but for the people that have been there by my side, pushing me to do better.
Question for you. This is just off my... I just thought about this. When you're under the bar, when you're approaching... It's different in the gym, obviously. But when it's meet time... What's going through your head, and what are you thinking? Like, let's say, because everybody thinks differently. What are you thinking when you're under the bar for a heavy-ass squat during a meet? Or are you thinking anything at all?
I don't want to be an embarrassment. I don't want to lose. I hate losing. In every single meet that I've done 7 meets. I've gotten 5 first place and 2 second place. And those second place just killed me. I fucking hate losing. You know, I lost to my buddy PJ by 5 kilos, which he's a friend, so that's fine. At my RPS meet, I lost to Aaron Palko, who is he's the number 4 best 242er in the world. So I'm like, okay, I lost to somebody who's world renowned. Okay, I'm alright with that, but I still got second place. I hate losing, and I don't plan on losing in the Arnold. I'm looking to the 275ers for competition. Because I'm going to just destroy everybody at 242. I have no doubt I will. I want more, and I don't want to lose. You know, every single time I'm under the squat bar, under the bench press, under deadlift, I don't want to be an embarrassment. I don't want to, especially at the big stage, I don't want to lose. especially when I have friends and family coming to watch. It's the worst thing to feel, that you lost. And they all came and paid to be there. So that just, it grinds my gears if I lose. So I don't want to lose. I don't want to embarrass the gym, as JJ says. I don't want to embarrass the gym. So, especially when I have their logo printed on my singlet.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose. I don't want to be that guy that went and just completely shit the bed.
Well, for anybody who is out there that maybe is interested in sponsoring a lifter or that might be able to help Armand a little bit, you know, I will give you, like, Armand, what's your Instagram?
It's Armand, A-R-M-A-N, dot Arabian, A-H-R-A-B-I-A-N. So Armand dot Arabian. You can slide into my DM, I don't mind. or you can look me up on Facebook, Armand Arabian. All of my lifting is on there. If you'd like to, I'd appreciate it, but if not, not a big deal. I know I have to earn it, okay. And I feel like the Arnold, I will earn something at least.
I think, like I said, I've been around like powerlifting and strength sports now for a long time, and I said it before, and I'll say it one last time. It's hard to find somebody that meets the physical kind of goals or the physical kind of thing that you need to excel in this. The mental aspect, and then the humility in order to realize when they need help and to actually do it. And it's easy to say, like, hey, like to a drug addict, it's easy to say, hey, you need help, but it depends on if they actually seek it or not, or look it out. But I'm not calling you a drug addict. I'm saying, but it takes a special person to actually find that and then to be able to utilize that help and to seek it out. And you're one of them. And it's a very rare thing indeed, because a lot of people that are strong don't have the humility in order to, like, to seek that out. And it says a lot about your character.
But, I mean, seeking something out is great, but in this day and age, you have to earn it. Because everybody can, you know, post a picture of their booty or their, ooh, you got a one repper. You got a great one max PR. But you didn't put any work in for it.
Yep.
I feel like I want to earn it.
Yep.
I don't want to hand out.
But I mean the humility of knowing, like, that you might need help on something and then doing it. Meaning, like, let's say your lockout on your deadlift or whatever. You're working on it. You know that's something that's weak, but a lot of people don't do that. And a lot of people are just like, hey, fuck it, I'm strong. But you're able to do that. And I think that ability to reassess yourself and to continually reassess yourself is what's going to set you apart and your work ethic. I think your work ethic is second to none.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And I'm a Polak, so Polaks really, like, we look up to people that have a strong work ethic, and Armand has it in spades. So is there anything else you want to say, man? I mean, we're going to wrap this up, I think, here, but is there anything else we want to talk about?
I think I'm all set. I've said what I wanted to talk about, and just, if you're coming to the Arnold, I compete on March 2nd, 2018. I compete at 3 p.m. on Friday. I believe it's at the Ohio Expo Center. XPC finals. I'll be one of the last people to lift, because I'm probably stronger than everybody else. I'm confident, not cocky.
All right, Armand, we want to thank you for showing up here, and thank you for the podcast. If anybody has any questions for Armand, hit him up on Facebook or hit him up on Instagram. Slide into his DMs. And ladies, he's single. So for everybody at the Strength Depot podcast and for everybody at the gym, thanks for listening, guys, and have a great day.